turn your Bibles a little to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I mentioned to you last week that you didn't, or maybe you did know, but did you know, I posed the question, did you know that there's about eating steak in the Scripture? Did you know that that was in the Scripture? And so we're going to take a look at this. This chapter, I've just got an introduction here, an introductory statement, and I reserve the right to modify it, but this is what I've got so far. And we're going to take our time with this chapter and just cover this first portion of it here this afternoon, and no pun intended, but just give you an opportunity to chew on it, okay? But here in Romans chapter 14, as we've made this transition at chapter 12, it seems, it's a clear transition there to more personal things. Not that doctrine or teaching to us that comes to us as a church is not personal, because it needs to be. Okay? We do fill the instruction of our Lord as a church. We do so individually in our place in the church, and then collectively as we operate and go forward. Okay? But here, this is the from the time of chapter 12, and this has effect to our place in the church, certainly, because the Lord's built His churches out of His children, those that are saved, and that He's baptized and is called to different local bodies, local assemblies. But these are personal things and personal things and instruction about our conversation. Romans chapter 14, this introductory statement here. This chapter deals with preference or optional things in our lives. It does not open the opportunity to willfully sin against our Lord, even if the child of our Lord does not understand that a certain thing is sinful. We do indeed sin against our Lord ignorantly, but yet are guilty. That is the reason we need to study the Scriptures and learn what sin is, so we will live a holy life while walking with our Savior. Again, this chapter does not in any way make the doctrine and commandments of the Scripture optional. Okay? So, I'll let you chew on that. If you'd like to even have a copy of it, I'll print it out for you. But we do need to have an understanding of this, and then we're going to look to it to see. In chapter 14, this chapter starts right after this verse, in chapter 13, verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts or the desires thereof. Okay, then we come into this chapter, chapter 14. You remember, as we saw last time, make not provision. Don't make providential care or supply for the flesh. Don't put forethought into the ability for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't do that. Make not provision. Don't make providence. Don't make care or supply. Don't make forethought for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And we saw, you know, about that of not loving the world that John writes about in his epistle. Chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Him that is weak. This word weak is speaking about being feeble, or can even be referred to or understood to be diseased, to be impotent. You remember the impotent man. He couldn't move his arm, you know, and the Lord told him, stretch forth your arm, and he was healed. There are those we that can be weak. Indeed, we can be feeble. We can be feeble in the flesh, and we can be feeble in conversation, in faith. We can be feeble in knowledge of the Scriptures and a stand in doctrine. We can be weak. There's many ways. You've heard me say it. We can be weak in many ways. Okay? Not just physically. And so, him that is weak in the faith, and that's what it's in particular to be talked about here, receive ye. And that's to be, that word receive is speaking about to take one to oneself, to be hospitable, to be friendly, to be helpful. He that is weak, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And understand that the apostle is writing this, and he is indicating, and the vantage point of the apostle is that there are those that are weak in the faith, okay? And we are to be sensitive to that. We all have been weak in the faith at one time or another. We've been weak in the faith about different things at times. We were certainly weak in the faith when we were first saved, okay? We were babes, and we were desired the sincere milk of the Word, and we're to grow, and we're to be fed by the Word. But he that is weak in the faith, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, church at Rome, church. You know, we've got a responsibility one to another as members of the Lord's church to be obedient before our Lord, have a good conversation, to be a good witness to those that are young in the faith, and to be a witness and encouragement one to another. It is indeed how we provoke one another to love and good works, is by our conversation. How we react to things, how we talk about things, how we refer to the Word of God and take it and try to apply it to the situation that we're dealing with. The apostle is indeed admitting that there are those that are weak in the faith. And it may be us, it may be me, or it has been me, or it could be you, or has been you, or it might be even others that would come unto us. He says, receive them, but not to doubtful disputations. This of doubtful, this word doubtful, discussion, debate, to have an imagination that is not right, bad reasoning, disputations, disputation, judicial estimation, okay? It goes along, I believe, with the judgments of the Lord. Receive the weak. Receive them indeed, but don't receive them to make their plight worse. Don't receive them to as this chapter is going to talk about, don't receive them to harm them, but receive them to help them and help them in the truth of God's Word. Don't receive them in a compromise, but understand, as the apostle even wrote, I believe it's to the church at Corinth, that he was very gentle amongst them. And he didn't, at Corinth, for the 18 months that he was there, he didn't do some things that he had the authority to do, as an apostle even. But he let those pass so that he might be a greater witness and a greater help to them. And again, it's another example of meekness, isn't it? One of those definitions that I read this morning is that that it's like that there is a way that it should be, but for the sake of that individual, okay? And that's not breaking the command of the Lord, but the Apostle Paul, as an apostle, had it coming that he should live of the ministry. But for the sake of the Corinthians, for the sake of those there at Corinth that he ministered to and witnessed to, and a church was built up there, he went ahead and worked. So he might not lay upon them any charge, but just to obey the Lord, okay, and unto salvation and then into service in the doctrine of the church. Those that are weak, him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but don't make their plight worse. Help them. Not to doubtful disputations. Don't take meat and cram it down the throat of a babe. Now, the apostle did that at times. He said to the Hebrews, he said in the book of Hebrews, he wrote, he said, you ought to be eating meat now, but you're not. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you some. You're going to choke and gag on it. This is my paraphrase. But you'll be okay. Now he knows to do that. He was led of the Lord to do that. A pastor has to go ahead sometimes and push on to the doctrines of the Bible. But we need to seek the care and the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to not serve ourselves, but we need to serve our Lord. And this chapter indeed is speaking about this, an aspect of meekness. Okay? Verse 2. Here's what was at hand at Rome. This is in particular. This is an allegorical, okay? This isn't an example of something that we know about. This isn't parabolistic, okay? This is indeed the issue that was there in Rome. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Okay, so you have one that as he takes the scripture where the Lord, and we're just going to even go from the standpoint of being a Jew, okay? He takes the passage there in Acts chapter 10 that our brother read this morning, and he sees that even the Jew can eat the quote-unquote unclean thing. We are thankful that we can eat swine. Swine, that's a different, you know, a hog, pig. I am thankful. I wouldn't say that I love bacon, but I like bacon a lot. I like sausage even better, okay? But it was opened up even for the Jew that they could eat the pig, okay, and other things by what the Lord showed to Peter there. Now, they may not be able to receive that. So what do we do? We've been persuaded that you can eat anything. You can eat. I'm not much on sushi. I like to cook what I eat. Especially that's meat. But those that like that, you know. And so there's one that comes and they can believe that they believe that they can eat all things. There's no issue with the Lord, and the scripture bears that out. We'll go ahead and go that far. The brother knows that this is the case. He does refer into the one that is weak. They really are weak in the understanding of the scriptures. And that's not a condemnation. It's just where they're at. Okay, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, okay, so they are, okay, they are. Same word is used in verse number 1, to be feeble in this sense of faith. Eateth herbs or vegetables. Okay, so one, anything that's been roasted or cooked, he'll eat it. Okay, he'll eat it. Okay, the other one I can't handle eating meat. I just eat vegetables. Okay, they have that. That's where they stand. And the apostle is indicating that in that they are weak. Okay, it's not derogatory towards them. Verse 3: Let not him that eateth the all things despise. This word despise, it speaks about now this other person that is only convinced of eating only herbs. They don't want to eat bacon. They don't want to eat sausage. They don't want to eat steak or pot roast or fowl or chicken. They don't want to eat farm eggs. What's better than a farm egg? A farm egg. And they don't want to eat that, okay? Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And so this one that eateth not, the one that eats, looking on at the one that eateth not, I'm not to think them contemptible, to hold them in contempt. What do you mean you won't eat my sausage? What do you mean you won't eat this turtle? Didn't Brother Harvey, didn't he cook up turtles? Yeah, he did. He'd catch them and clean them up in his tank, right? And he'd make turtle soup, right? What do you mean you won't eat my turtle soup? And see, it's not a thing of making an offer and then they reject it and they say, okay, well, that's fine. But they've become anathema to this person. They've become contemptible. That's what that word despise means. You won't eat turtle soup, right? You know, won't eat turtle soup. Okay, we know how folks are. They come into the room. There's brother won't eat bacon. Right? Contemptible. They despise. Their stand about this. See, there's a lot of things to eat. And we must eat, or we won't live. But there's a variety of choice of things to eat. There are options in what we eat. Somebody may prefer cattle, and they eat that. Others may prefer more vegetables. Others may prefer to eat different things in different seasons. Others may just prefer to eat bread. Now, you know, we need to have a balanced diet, or we can have problems. Just eating one thing can hurt us. But different ones like different things, and you don't have to eat just one thing to be right. You've got options, okay? And so this is talking about meat. I think the application can go to things that are optional, but not things that are doctrinal and direct out of the Word of God. We have to watch that. But the subject here in Rome is meat. So you have this one that eats that despises the one that eats not. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him with eateth that eateth not judge him that eateth. Okay? Again, this despising is talking about lowly esteeming this person. In Mark chapter 9, verse number 12, and he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. It's the same kind of thing, to set one at naught. You won't eat pot roast. You're troubled by that. It's not that you just don't like it. You're troubled in the faith about it. And I like pot roast. I don't think there's a thing. The Lord says it's all okay. I know that, but you're bugging me because you won't eat it. There's offense on the part of the one that eats. See, it's not that we agree to disagree about it, but we want to put pressure on that one because they don't. They are set at naught. See, our Lord Jesus was set at naught. Why? Because of what he came and did, because of what he preached, because of his doctrine. The rulers set him at naught. They said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There's no prophet that ariseth out of Galilee, they told to Nicodemus, right? They set him at naught. They discounted him. And so, for the sake of meat, the one that understands what the Lord says would take one another that is not comfortable with eating meat before God, and now I discount them. Not to be. Let not him that eateth, the command is plain, despise or set at naught him that eateth not. And then, let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. Another word here, judge. This word judge is to properly distinguish or to decide, mentally or judicially, to try. Or to condemn, even unto punish. See, that's the thing is, we do make judgments based on what our Lord has said. But the extent that the people of God punish anyone is just that in church discipline. It's just by setting them out of the body. No stripes. No incarceration. Right? No capital punishment. But Corinthians is clear is that there, if we take it into ourselves to judge, and see, and I make this judgment at all, you don't agree with what the Lord says about us to eat, therefore I'm going to punish you by setting you at naught. It's no good. And let him that eateth not judge him that eateth. Ooh, you're eating that meat. You're eating that meat. And God said not to eat that meat. They're weak in their understanding. The apostles pointed out who's weak here. Okay? But they... I don't like anything that's got blood in it. Okay, well, that's your prerogative. But don't. But the one that is willing to cook and eat the meat, don't judge them and look to punish them and set them at naught. And we're talking about this is church context, church capacity. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. God hath received the one that does eat. He has received him. And this word receives is the same as in verse 1. God has received. God has been hospitable. God has admitted. Or there's friendship at hand. Just like those in the church there in verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. The Lord's given the word. So, about this of eating and what food to eat, meat in this particular case, and there is more connected with it, but we're just dealing with what it is. Don't set them at naught, and don't look to punish them and set them at naught. Because God has received him. It's evidently a problem that's there in the Church of Rome. It could be even a conflict between the Gentiles and the Jews. It could be that are in this church. Verse number 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Now understand, it's not just making a determination where we say, God says this, God says the word, God says the way it is in this case, and I admonish you, brother, to receive what God says. But we go beyond that where we say, God says this about this optional thing. There's a lot of different foods you can eat. God says this, and you're in trouble with me because you don't. See, that's that judging. We're not having you over for supper anymore. I'm bringing my dish to the fellowship dinner and said, brother so-and-so, we got some meat here and I guess you won't be eating it. See? It's a bad spirit, isn't it? So, brother so-and-so, brother meat eater, I guess you got meat in the dish. Ooh. Right? It's not to be. It's not to be. Who art thou that judgest unto punishment? Okay? Again, that word judges is talking about a verdict. See, we say, when our hearts are right and we hear the word of the Lord, we say, God says, flee the wrath to come, or he will punish you. See the difference in that? We go to the sinner and we say, you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those words are condemning, but we don't say, or else I'm going to whack you over the head. We don't say that. We say, God's going to judge you. And that is the testimony and word of the Lord. Okay? And they may react to that in a bad way, but we're not the punisher. We're not the vindicator. We're the messenger. And here in the church, in regards to this of optional things and things of eating, we need to be the messenger, not the vindicator, not the one that metes out the punishment. Martha, I'm sure they've got dead chicken in the dish. You know, it's no good. Because they've become a brother or sister over this thing of meat or no meat has become contemptible. It's not even a spiritual fair, is it? But our reaction has become a spiritual reaction, hasn't it? And our hearts are not right if we don't watch that. And that's what he's dealing. Evidently, this was an issue. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? We're not the vindicator. We're not the one that metes out the punishment of judgment. We say, brother, here it is in Acts chapter 10. The Lord made it very plain that even the Jews, they showed to Peter that they can partake of those things. Here, we would say today, here the Apostle Paul. He even rebuked Peter when he condescended to those that came up from Jerusalem to Antioch. And he challenged him. He says, you don't live as the Jews anymore, Peter. Why do you want the Gentiles to? See, to tell the truth and to encourage them and teach them is a right way. But to say, if you don't believe this, I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to make you pay with my cold shoulder, with my no handshake. Might have meat on your hands. Might have blood on your hands. I'm going to be chilly towards you. Taking a non-spiritual thing, but our reaction to it and the weakness of our brother, or my weakness towards another brother that understands about an optional kind of thing like meat, and have made it into a bad spiritual reaction. I talk about that in our church. We do need to be able to agree to disagree about things. And not about doctrine that's plain in the Scriptures. Although some things are hard to be understood, Peter said. So we give us together and we give one another time to try to understand and receive. But the foundational things are clear, aren't they? The foundation is clear. And we agree on that and we deal with that. Who art thou that judgest, that seeks to judge and punish, to render a verdict and punish another man's servant? The one that eats is the servant of God. The one that doesn't eat is the servant of the Lord. What's he go on to say? He goes on to say, to his own master he standeth or falleth. I'm not the determinator of standing or falling. I'm not. Now, if I understand the Scriptures right, that as a pastor, and you as a church member under my pastorate will all be called on one another, maybe at the judgment seat of Christ, to give testimony as to how we did. I'll give testimony of what I preached and what I delivered unto you, and that which is true in the Word of God. You'll give account. I'll give account to those that have pastored me unto how I received it. It says it's unprofitable for the pastor of the Lord to give an account that the children of God didn't receive the Word of God. It's the Lord that's going to judge, though, not the pastor. I'm not the meter outer of vengeance for your disobedience. I'm to preach the truth to you. I may even have to rebuke you sometime. But it's the Lord that we serve. And the thing is we don't need to have these kind of hard feelings and bad judgment estimations and such as that over things that are optional. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. It's by the power of the Lord that we live. What is it that we haven't received? You know, I can teach and preach as your pastor, or our brethren that teach the classes, or the ladies that teach the children. You know, we can teach the truth of God's Word, but we cannot make anybody receive it. We pray that the Lord will help us to receive it. But we can't make. I can't shame you. And that's a bad way to go, isn't it? I've seen that. Seen pastors try to shame Peter, there's a temptation there upon a pastor to try to shame people into receiving things. I want you to receive the Word of God from a pure and open and honest heart before the Lord. I tell you, you get it. We get the truth of God that way. We'll have it. And nobody will be able to convince us otherwise. Getting it from our Lord. And the Lord uses means. In verse number five, it says, one man esteemeth. It's the same word as judge in verse number 3 and verse number 4. And I find that interesting. One man esteemeth or judgeth. He takes a look at all the information. He's determined this way. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So one man judges this day. Now, understand, this is not talking about Sodomite Pride Day. You see what I'm saying? One, if we're talking about the Jews here, the Passover was given to the Jews perpetually. Yeah, go read it. Go read it for yourself. It was given to them forever. If a Jew that is saved is looking to keep the Passover to save them or to keep them saved, then they got trouble. But as a Jew, they could keep the Passover. Knowing that Christ is the Passover. And because they're a Jew, they can take the Passover and remember when the Lord delivered the nation out of Egypt. That's what the Passover's for. Not that it carries, to understand, we observe the Lord's Supper, but we know it carries no weight in regards to keeping or fulfilling our salvation. And the Passover was given to the Jew for them to remember how it was that the Lord delivered them out with a strong arm and a mighty hand out of Egypt. And a Jew couldn't do that. A Gentile keep the Passover? It's not for us. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So we look on and read about the Passover and glory in our Lord that He did so for us. When He saw the blood, He passed over us. Amen? See that? So there may, and I use this as an example, a Jew might want to keep the Passover. A Gentile doesn't see anything in it. Now, this is not talking about, we take the 4th of July and we celebrate the independence of our country. Now, I think it's good to be patriotic. But maybe you don't think it's good to, or it's not essential to be patriotic. You can or you can't. I might look to encourage you to remember that day and understand what it is. Or maybe for you, the qualifier for a person is you really don't celebrate 4th of July unless you spend $500 on fireworks. And everybody else is anathema. So understand, this can't be applied to wicked associated days. One man esteemeth one day above another. This isn't talking about making your choice about one day out of 7 to go and worship the Lord. See, it's not. We know that the day to worship our Lord is the first day of the week because of what Jesus did. Because of what the apostles and the brethren wrote in the Gospels. The first day of the week. As it is in the Greek, the first Sabbath is what is written there. Jesus, our Lord, rather than the day of rest that He gave at the beginning, now He's transitioned that at His resurrection, that we might honor Him first in the week, on His day, on Sunday. And so understand, this isn't talking about, if you want to worship the Lord on Tuesday, well, you can. A church could meet on Tuesday. But I don't believe a church should meet on Tuesday and forego the Lord's Day, Sunday. Amen? And so one man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. To carry out fully. To be completely assured or convinced. Entirely accomplished. It's rendered in the scriptures also as most surely believed. Those things most surely believed amongst us is a phrase out of the scriptures. Another thing, another way that this word persuaded is make full proof of. The apostle told Timothy, make full proof of your ministry, Timothy or Titus. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, verse 6, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. We're not talking about things unscriptural. We're not talking about things connected with wickedness or immorality or that. It's not as has been dealt with in this book, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. No. So it's not talking about the allowing of a thing, but it's talking about one sees a thing that is optional, and another doesn't see it that way. Don't make it a bad spiritual example. Be a witness of what you're convicted of out of the scriptures. He that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord, unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks. Oh yeah, those herbs and that meat, we well should be given thanks, shouldn't we? Because it's our Lord that's provided it for us. Our Lord has provided it for us, for our daily bread. He giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. This word regard is exercising of the mind, or the set affection on. He's convinced of that, and that's where he's at. And again, it has to do with optional things, or things, as we described at the beginning, preference. Or optional things in our life. Don't make a preference kind of thing a stumbling block. Don't make it a stumbling block. People need to eat. So some might like bread, some might vegetables, some like it all, except for sushi. But don't make it. Don't make it a spiritual issue. Don't make it a strife and a conflict between brethren. Verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And there's a lot that could be preached about that. We are a witness. We are a witness in what we stand in. The truth of God's word and how we're convicted about what God says. We're a witness in how and what we stand in, our conviction. We're a witness in how we stand in it. And we are a witness of how we take it and we present it to others. We don't need to soften up the word of God. But as our Lord was, we do need to be gentle. We do need to be meek. The Apostle Paul, I believe, again said in Corinth that he was like a mother is with her children, with them. We do need to bear the word of God in its truth, and we need to never compromise on the truth of God's word. But we do need to carry it and tell the truth in love, don't we? A theme that we've taken for our church. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Verse 8. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You know, we are a witness and a testimony and encouragement, a provoking to love and good works of one another. But again, as I mentioned this morning, I think it was this morning, we it's all so very important that we understand what our Lord wants us to do, the individual, the person. God speaking to you out of His Word, and you know what your Lord wants you to do and follow in, because you live before Him. You will be judged by Him. And you have a calling, you and I have a calling to be a good witness of Him, of the truth, to everybody that's around us. And so may the Lord help us in that. We're going to stop right here, and next time we'll continue on and see here about this aspect. This is laying the groundwork to get to this point about self-denial. And we've got this on the front end about how we handle the issue. I believe and this optional thing, this thing of food is the example that's given here. This optional thing, not foundational doctrinal things, but in this optional thing, I believe that I may. The eating of meat. I mean, it's clear in the Scriptures that if you're eating meat dripping with blood that's not been cooked, it's not good. That's what was given to the, that was even given to the Gentiles. And we should slaughter our animals and cut their neck and drain them. Not to be morbid, but we shouldn't eat animals that have been strangled. I mean, that's been given to us. It's plain. It's there. But if I believe that I can eat things, and another brother only believes that he should eat vegetables, I shouldn't disdain him or hold him in contempt because he believes so. He should not hold me in contempt because I do, but we should be a witness to one another of why, and then do agree to disagree in a right spirit, in a right way. This passage was once used about a doctrinal stand. A doctrinal stand about operation in the church that I took, and I believe there was agreement in the church about it. And it's totally misused. It's totally misused, and I hate that for those folks' sake. And try to come up with an example that's maybe near to that. I'll just put it this way. This is my conclusion of it. I'm gonna make a statement, and then you mull it over and tell me, don't tell me anything right now, but you consider it, and then we'll close. The summary of this operational way that we should operate in the church, there was ones that said, akin to, there are some people that we should just not preach to. There are some venues that we should not preach in. Well, indeed, I agree we shouldn't go down to the bar and go into the bar and preach. If I have a group of people gathered together to hear something spiritual in that, if I have opportunity to preach to them and I'm not restrained in any way, I think, well, I ought to be able to preach to them. I think the calling is to preach to them. But if that offends a brother or a sister, then I should refrain from doing so because it offends them. That's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is not talking about that. Now, there is a right position and a right way and some wisdom about how to deal with that and pursue that and approach that. Some circumstances would be such that you wouldn't do it in a certain place or a certain time, but you always should be willing to seek to do so. And I believe that that's so, and believe that we have that testimony from the Scriptures, and so I'm not going to back up from that. But it's something that I do personally, is a hardship or an offense to my brother, as the passage is going to bear out, and we'll look at it, Lord willing, next time, I need to give strong consideration that I'd back away from that personal thing for their sake till they come along, or go ahead and leave it alone until the age comes to an end and our Lord comes back. If I want to be meek enough. See, I'm okay with eating meat. But if it offends them and they won't be convinced, better for me to be strong and not eat meat in their presence so they not be offended. Yeah, for the sake of the one that's weak, I'm called on by the Lord to back off of this personal thing. See that? And that is talking about an aspect of meekness. For their benefit, I'll deny myself. May the Lord help us with that. That's easy to say, tall order. May the Lord help us in